Welcome to Bravo Breakdowns, your podcast study guide for reality TV. Every Thursday, we cover an entire season of brawling, boozing, and romance, and skip all the boring parts where everyone is getting along. Whether you've never seen an episode or you're a Bravo scholar, we're here to break it down for you.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
I think it'll be fine. It's never fine. Not been fine.
Okay. Except that one time. Yeah.
Yeah. But then the cloud made it fine. Okay. Good morning, students. We're just going to get right into it today because we have a very special guest that we want you to hear. We are covering Traitors Australia Season 2, and we just have to get straight into it. We've got all these behind-the-scenes factoids. We've got a lot more insight into what really happened than anything we have to say, but we want to give you a quick recap in case you haven't seen the season or you kind of forgot the season and you want to be able to follow along with our guest. So we usually kind of are in a veil of secrecy about the guests because usually
they aren't real.
Usually they aren't real. Yeah, so we want to add to the mystique of the comedian playing them. But we'll just be open and honest with you guys. We have World of Wrestling champion Simone Williams, who talked with us and really gave us a bunch of insights on how this like controversial and at times confounding season, how it all really happened, and then kind of how the narrative was shaped into the story that you saw.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's really Simone from the show and from World of Wrestling. It is not one of our comedian friends. We have never taken an improv class with this person. They're the actual person from the show.
We actually don't have anyone who's good enough at accent work to to do an Australian. And also we've got video evidence, which you may have seen, that brought you here. So that's proof. No deepfakes, guys.
No deepfakes. No AI. Not here. Not on my watch.
No. So Michelle, what was your opinion watching the season?
Yeah, confounded, confused. There were moments I really, really liked. There were banishments mm-hmm. that shocked me and rocked my core.
Mm-hmm.
But compared to season one of Australia, I didn't feel like this season was as strong, even though there were some really strong players in the show. And I wish that, you know, after talking to Simone, I wish that some of the stuff that didn't make it to air had.
Yes.
But yeah, overall, like, it wasn't a bad season. It just wasn't my favorite season I've seen of the Traitors. Season one U.S. Traitors is awful. That I can say. I will not say that about the season of Australia.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, okay, so I think I've gotten into my Traitors backstory a little bit on Australia about how I was very depressed and on way too high of my medication and mm-hmm. had an episode. And so, like, most of Traitors, I spent lying on the floor of my fiance's office, couldn't get up, just zonked out, engaged. And this season, like, there were times I was so frustrated mm-hmm. that at one point during a banishment, I left my house while my fiance was watching, drove around the block, almost got in a car wreck, and then came back in. I was so upset. Lord. I should not have been driving.
No.
But see, I think that that's the reason why some people say they don't like the season, but that's the reason that I like this season. Any season that makes you feel that much, that gets you that heated and engaged, like, I think that's actually a strong piece of TV that you're having that kind of visceral reaction.
Yeah, especially
it,
if you're like, you know, clinically depressed and you can't leave the floor. Anything that gets you off of the floor and out of your house, like, that's a win that your therapist has been looking for a while.
Exactly. It got my adrenaline back. It got my standing up back. It got my groove back.
Get out of the house. Yeah.
Okay. So this season.
Yeah. How Lauren got her groove back.
This season. It's Traitor Season 2, a.k.a. The Dummies, a.k.a. How Lauren Got Her Groove Back. It's a mix of celebrities and regular people. It's speculated because, like, even though Australia season one was really critically acclaimed, it had all normies. So they were like, okay, maybe let's get some celebrities into the mix to maybe boost the ratings, is the speculation. So all the players sit at the table blindfolded. Roger chooses the traitors, and the traitors are Ash Pollard. She's like a reality pro. She was on like cooking shows and Dancing with the Stars Australia.
She's a pro.
Mm-hmm. She's a pro. Yeah. You can really see.
You can tell by the hair.
Michelle, have you seen Kath and Kim?
I haven't, but I want to.
It's like this famous Australian comedy show where like one of the actresses, they're like a comedy duo, and one of them has like a short blonde perm wig. Ooh. And it's just very iconically Australian style. It's great. Yeah, you'd be very into it.
So Ash leads with her hair, and and I like that about her.
Yes. And she's a strong woman.
She is a strong woman, and she is a professional on TV.
Yes. W2er, or whatever the Australian version is.
Yeah, DM us in the comments what you use for payroll tax. Thank you, in Australia.
Yeah. So then Sam is also chosen as a traitor.
He was one of the chosen.
And he's like a bro marketing guy. He looks a lot like Matthew Lawrence, one of the Lawrence brothers.
Okay, because I thought he looked like the devil.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he definitely is doing some devil character work.
The devil and Matthew Lawrence had a child.
Yes. The devil went down to brotherly love and he hooked up with. This is going to be a real fan fiction because Matthew Lawrence is like a gay icon for being hot.
He is?
Yeah. I wonder if Sam has the same kind of gay following, but I doubt it. He's like extremely bro-y. Extremely devilish. We'll get more into it later. And then the third traitor who's chosen is Blake. He's in beer sales. And he looks like
he's in beer sales.
Yes. He looks like a Jack Black. Like he looks exactly like Bobby Moynihan from SNL.
He looks like every guy I've ever dated. Lauren.
Yeah, same. He's very my type. I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone takes off their blindfolds. The traitors, of course, have to not tell that they're traitors. Mm-hmm. They're mixing around the hotel. But Sam does something new that I'd never seen on a traitor season. He looks straight at the camera after talking to the faithful and winks at the camera.
I mean,
it's very Carl on Summer House.
Which Carl? 2.0, 3.0?
I think 1.0, season 1. He gives the old, like, I'm a bad boy.
And I'm unemployed. I don't know if Sam's unemployed. Anyway, yeah, Sam, you know what? I'm going to say it. He's great TV.
Mm-hmm.
And now we said it,
and it seems like production also realizes he's great TV, and they make the controversial choice. This is going to be mostly Sam's journey.
Yeah,
in the
Sam's
game.
Journey to Middle Earth.
Yes. he could not handle the ring of power. Spoiler alert.
Few can.
So that, you know, everything's going well for the traitors, they murder a faithful. The next day, everyone banishes a faithful. Like, no one's onto them, but Sam decides he is going to make a move to completely spin around the game and make traitor history. Mm-hmm. He is going to go after another traitor. He's going to throw Ash under the bus, episode 2. Did you think of him doing that so early in the game, Michelle?
I hated it. Because I wanted to see Ash more, because I thought she was great TV. She was a strong woman, a strong voice. It was a dick move by Sam, which will become his thing.
His trademark.
A lot of dick moves. So it was shitty. I feel like production should have intervened and been like, no, you cannot.
No.
She's one of our special people.
Yes, and from a gameplay perspective, like, he seems to think, like, this is a really genius move. And at first I was like, this is not a genius move. And in fact, like, he was working with, there are some of the best faithful ever in Australia season 2, I believe.
Yes.
And really, like, he was going after Ash so aggressively
that
Annabelle, who is, like, a traitor super fan and, like, very girly and fun and, like, clever and great talking heads, she was onto him after that. Luke was on to him after that. We didn't see this on camera, but Simone told us a lot of people caught on to him after that. So from a gameplay perspective, it seemed like a bad move, but ultimately it might have been a smart strategic move because he kind of knew.
Came up like a psychopath.
He bet on himself and it scared people. Yes.
Yeah. I'm terrified.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really did allow him to control the game with an iron fist from there on out.
Mm-hmm.
So even though everyone is like, you know, pretty sure it's Sam, they also think it's Ash. So they're like, Ash finds out that Sam is trying to go after her, and she goes after him hard at the round table. She's like, "Are you a traitor?" And she's like trying to make her case, and he keeps interrupting her.
Yeah,
and he keeps interrupting her, and then she's finally like, "Can I speak? Can you shut up?" And it's very like a nevertheless she persisted moment.
Oh my gosh!
Instead, everyone turns against her and is like, "Wow, that's aggressive. You're a traitor." Yeah, and he's like, "This is the real
Ash. Stop being like a loud woman. Like, let the man speak. Let this white man talk."
Yes. Yeah. All he wants is just to get his few white man words out where he buries you and betrays you.
Lies to everybody. The whole time?
The whole time you were.
The whole time? The whole time.
Yeah. Like, no one was
keeping score. That was a Mrs. Doubtfire reference to Matthew Lawrence was in that movie. Thank you.
He was. Oh my gosh. We tied it together.
We
and
did
no
it.
One would say Sally Field was too aggressive in that performance. In fact, I bet that was her Academy Award nomination clip.
I hope
the whole
so.
Time you were.
The whole time.
So then the next night they banish another faithful, and the way that Traitor Blake is acting at the round table after this faithful gets banished, Annabelle thinks is really weird. He's like, he's like really overdoing it. He's the laid back, you know, beer sales guy. And suddenly he's really upset about a guy he didn't even know. Like, this is a strange. And so like clock it. Her and Luke are both like, we need to get Blake out. So they've nailed all of the traitors, all three of them,
so
in the
quickly.
First four episodes.
It's
of
insane.
The game. It's really impressive. But they kind of try a complicated scheme where they're like, they're close to Sam, and Sam thinks he controls Annabelle. So they're like, well, why don't we protect Sam? That will protect us from murder, and we'll try to banish Blake, and Sam will go along with us. He's fine turning his back on a traitor. So when she tries to initiate this plan, which is like, I think I love her, but a little complex. Like, we've seen this kind of plan backfiring on Faithful before, to be like, look, I know we have the numbers to get out this traitor, but what if we get out this traitor? And it does spark some fear into the Faithful. And again, so she goes to Simone, and Simone is like, this is all really weird. Like, suddenly I'm hearing Blake. I've never thought Blake. And then at the round table, Sam uses his rhetoric again, and Annabelle, such an emotional woman, and so loud, and she gets voted out, and it's very sad.
Yeah,
she gives a great spiel about how polar bears tend. I feel like people hate bad accents, so I should probably not attempt them. Polar bears,
just your theater teachers, young. Lauren.
That's why I got a B on my final scenes in my BFA acting program. Okay. And got thrown out of theater school. Fun fact.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So then it's very clear it's Sam, right? Everybody knows it's Sam now. He just turned everyone against Annabelle when Annabelle was clear that he was a traitor. Yeah, it's got to be very clear. Luke even says, I'm going to get murdered tonight and know that the traitors are Sam and Blake. Like, you have to know that. Avenge me. So then Luke gets murdered, and Simone's like, okay, well, yeah, now it's Sam. We'll all go after Sam. Duh. And then again at the banishment table, Sam says, maybe it's me, but what if it's you, Simone? You've been quiet, and now you're strong and aggressive.
Scary. What if somebody did that to you? Like, it could be me, but what if it's you? And then you're oh my God, I am I am crazy. I am on medication. Like, maybe it is me. Maybe I am the problem. He's like every, shitty guy you've ever dated. Like, it could be the problem, but actually, have you ever thought maybe you're the fucking problem? And you're like, oh God, I never thought of it like that, because you're like verbally abusive. But
yes, I'm like, wow, you're saying a lot of things to me that I say to myself, so actually this tracks.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think there were some faithful who were lost and confused enough in this game that if Sam had been like, you're coming after me, well, you're a traitor, like Sarah, who's like the most confused Faithful, she would be like, you're right, I am a traitor. She would have voted for Roger if Sam had told her to. Like, she was very confused.
I was Sarah watching this season a lot, where it's like, I know this person's insane. I know Sam's crazy. I know, like, Simone's amazing. Annabelle, that's a great speech. But, like, sometimes I was like,
What is going on?
Because it was like they figured out like all the traitors so early, and then I was just like, what's happening? I'm just watching Sam go totally insane with power this whole season.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very and that's okay. This is why the season was a little hard for me to watch, is like, I don't know if I want to teeter into this, but if anybody, like, if anything on reality TV reminds me a little bit of politics, then I'm like, I don't want to go there. I watch reality TV instead of MSNBC. It keeps me blissfully ignorant. The Trump trial, I'll just watch season 13 of New Jersey again. You know, I get too emotional about it. So I'm like, when I kind of see, like, you know, a cult of personality by a strong white cis heterosexual man happening, I'm like, it just kind of, it's a little triggering. So that was like my only real complaint with this season, but it's my deal. And not to say that he's Trump or anything. I mean,
no,
he's way handsomer for one.
For one. And for two, Lauren doesn't know anything about the new deal or her deal. So it's fine.
So the new deal, like Franklin Rosen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. That was recently, right?
I heard about that.
In one of those fireside chats.
For all of our Australian listeners right now, let us know what you use for payroll tax, and let us know if you know anything about the new deal.
Yeah, big deal in the Great War, but I think you guys did not have to.
That was
mess
the Great War
that.
Was won, Lauren.
Oh, the Greater War.
Well, and some might argue no war is great.
No war is great.
But economically for the U.S., World War II, thanks, babe. Yeah, getting back to Australia.
Love a war. Yeah. Okay, back to Australia. Okay,
we
so this
do it. Okay.
So the way that Annabelle and Simone's banishments went, it kind of, it's lather, rinse, repeat for the rest of the season. So then, you know, after Simone goes home, she's a faithful, she gives an iconic speech. This is the season of, the season should be called The Dummies. Camille is the only one who's like, I still think it's Sam. He's the one doing this. So yeah. Sam makes the decision to recruit her as a traitor. And Blake lets him. I don't know why.
Blake is like, I don't really trust this bloke.
Yes, but he still doesn't, well, I don't know. It seems like he doesn't, he still goes along with him despite not trusting him, but also at this point in the game.
Yeah, but
you kind of can't trust any of the faithful.
Well, Sam, yeah, you don't want Sam on your bad side. It's like when Kim was married to Kanye. Like, you know, you just kind of have to go along with it for a while.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, anyway. That's a real, and Kanye's new wife, that seems like a hostage situation as well. The way he dresses her, yikes.
Yeah, you just have to kind of go along with it until you can blink again and say, I need help.
Yes. Yeah. So Camille accepts. She's a traitor, and Sam has a plan. He won the shield and the challenge the day before, which protects you from murder. So he'll say, the traitors tried to murder me. The shield deflected it. Therefore, I look even more faithful, and they won't know you're recruited. And again, everyone goes along with that. And Sam wears the shield around his neck and a cowboy hat to breakfast in the morning.
You know what? I really loved that.
I love costume and prop work. I mean, famously, Paul wasn't allowed to do it, but I guess Sam got special
Sam with his,
treatment.
You know, his rugged good looks, his, you know, his boyish charms. He got away with it. Yeah.
And pretty much everyone buys it too. It's funny because, like, on season one of Australia, when a traitor was recruited, they told them a traitor was recruited, but this time production didn't. I mean, do you think that was a mistake? Or, like, do you think production, and then, like, maybe they could have pushed Sam out that time? Or do you think that, like, at this point, it's like, it's better TV to just let the game keep continuing the way it is.
Yeah, they were probably like, it's the Sam show now. Like, we're too deep in it. Like, we can't risk him being banished.
I would have liked to have seen what Blake and Camille would do. That would have been, I think, more interesting to me. But I see why they made the decisions they did. Because everyone left is still pretty clueless and going along with Sam, except for Hannah. Hannah finally has clued in and she's like, oh, the traitors, they can murder themselves. He must have murdered himself, which it's like...
Yeah, they unalive.
Yeah,
unalive.
Yeah, so it's like she's wrong, but she's kind of right. But it's too late because Keith, another faithful, is banished for being too close to Blake. And then Sam, because Hannah's onto him, he murders Hannah because that's what he does. And then the next banishment, Gloria and Sarah, it seems like, are onto Sam.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, it's probably Sam. It's probably Sam and Blake. They get into the room. Gloria makes her case. Sam immediately says, Well, when you say that, that makes me think about you.
My God.
And Sarah goes, you're right. It probably is her.
Flips. But you think this is just like how Sam talks to women? Like whenever he sees a woman, he's like, and like they confront him with his bad behavior. He's like, no, you have like, bad behavior.
You're right. I mean, that is like, you know, most men I dated in my 20s. And hopefully they are not like that now. I mean, it's hard to say how much he was doing.
Yes, I would have fucked Sam in my 20s, Lauren, if that's what you're asking.
I mean, I was heavily implying it. I honestly, like, Sam is the guy you date in your 20s. Blake is the guy you marry in your 30s.
Yes, and I did marry Blake.
Yeah, me too. So then we get to, Gloria's voted out, of course, for being onto Sam. Now, finally, Liam, another faithful, has caught on, and he's steaming mad.
Liam Hemsworth, he's Australian.
Yes.
No, he wasn't in this.
It wasn't. No, it was an apprentice electrician, young lamb who finally is no longer a sheep. He catches on.
Oh, boy.
But it's too late and he gets banished the next day. Yes. And then we are going into the final with three traitors and one faithful, Sarah.
Oh, God. Sarah.
How
did I end up here? We're like, we don't know.
We don't know. She's like, I'm so proud of myself. Like I made it to the end. It's like, honey, in this season, that's actually like not
that's
a compliment.
That's not great.
So the way that the final works with this many traitors, obviously, if it's like two traitors left in the final, it's a game of steal or share. So that means the players write down steal or share. If both people share, they share the money. If one person writes down steal and one person writes down share, then the person who steals gets all the money. The person who shares gets none. If they both write steal, then nobody gets any money. So with three traitors going
in. Okay, did this ending kind of remind you, what was that Lord of the Rings? Which movie was it where it felt like it had like 10 endings and it just like never ended? That's how this kind of felt.
Yes.
You know.
Or the season of Drag Race, I feel like, had a lot of false endings. I don't. I was giving during the final Lord of the Rings when I saw it in theaters.
Again, you do that a lot.
That was like my thing in my late teens. If you guys have gotten frisky in your late teens in a movie theater, did they do that in Australia? Comment.
It's upside down for them.
Counterclockwise.
Yeah, that's how their hand jobs are counterclockwise.
Okay, so the way that this works when there's three traitors, which is unprecedented, first time in all of the franchises all over the globe that we've had three traitors get to the end. Then if two traitors steal and one shares, then the traitors that both steal, they split the money. If everyone shares, they all share. If everyone steals, nobody gets nothing. So Sam is, of course, like trying to pretend he's going to share, and Blake doesn't believe him. He knows he's going to steal.
They're all like, this is the plan all along, mate.
Yes. And like, he goes to Camille and he's like, we're all going to share. And Camille's like, let's all share.
Let's all do
like
it.
Good plan.
We got it.
So it looks like Blake and Sam are going to steal from Camille and she's going to share.
Mm-hmm.
So they get down to the fire. Everyone votes for Sarah, of course, to leave. And Sarah is so funny. She's like, I can leave with my head held high. Little do you know I'm a faithful. And Sam is like not to laugh. Like,
yeah. Little did you know. It's like, lady, what? Please. They should have edited that out just to keep her dignity.
I know they did kind of come down hard on her at the end. Like, this game is really all, especially this.
It's elder abuse. Season.
It's elder abuse, and it's all about karma. Like, they want everyone to get their just desserts, and Sarah kind of voting against, like, people who were, like, being maybe, like, one of the most obstructive faithful in getting out traitors of all time. Roger makes all the traitors reveal that they are traitors in front of her, and then she, you know, confusedly walks back into the castle, like... Well, I played a great game, and it's like, I feel like production did her a disservice by not maybe sitting her down at some point and really explaining the game
again. Yeah, like, sweetie, this is what's happening.
Let's break it down. And I do feel bad for her. But she's gone, and now it's time for the game of Steal or Share. So Sam writes down Steal. Duh. He's also pink with glee at, like, surprisingly.
I'm so slick. Yeah.
And then Blake writes down Steal, too. He's, like, a little more dogged about it. But he's like, sorry, Camille, we're going to steal it from you. And then Camille gives a great speech, a speech that, in many people's opinion, like, is the perfect end of the season and makes the whole thing worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Camille is like, so... I had the most fun in this game when you guys recruited me. You were the best players. I love being team traitor. You ran the game. You were strategic. And I know when you recruited me, your plan was to take me right here. You knew I was a sharer. But if I wasn't going to win, none of us were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
She turns over her card. She said to Steal. No one wins anything. Mm-hmm. Roger is, like, jumping for joy in his little suit. Woo! Like, so satisfying to watch.
It's so satisfying. But you know that Sam or Blake wanted to be, like, probably Sam, in the words of Kyle Richards. You're such a fucking bitch, Camille.
And he basically kind of says that. Mm-hmm. He's like, unbelievable. If you were an OG trader and I came in, I'd be like, yeah, you deserve it. We did all the work. You weren't loyal at all. You should give us the money. And Camille's trying to explain, like, well, you know, Sam, like, everything you're saying, I could say to you. You were lying to me, too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and she's being such a good sport, though. Mm-hmm. She's like, hey, you are awesome in the game. Like, you guys were both awesome. You just made, like, a couple of mistakes. Like, strategically, it is unsound to bring two traitors to the end when if you claim to have total control of the game, because you lower your chances of going away with the pot to 67% for, like, sharing it and 33% for getting the whole thing. Like, you just made a few mistakes, and Sam still is popping off. Roger is, like, really smugly rubbing it in. He's like, well, at least you guys all can know you played a good game. Ta-ta!
And that's all, folks.
Yep. And then and Sam just keeps going in, even after Roger left. And apparently, Camille said, they cut down the speech quite a bit. And finally, Camille's like, look, you know, it's just a game. And Sam says, that's what a rich person says. Which also, sorry, not to get into it, but to get into it a little bit. His IG is always, like, him taking vacations and stuff. So it's, I'm not sure. Like, he was obviously, like, expressing his frustration in a reality TV way. I do think that it seems like Camille was hurt by it. She finally walks away. Blake walks away. He's completely broken. And Sam says, sheriff out. And Roger says, sheriff out indeed. Voiceover.
Oh, Sam the sheriff, we will never forget thee.
Yes, we barely knew. Actually, we knew all too well.
Yeah, we knew the worst parts of you, actually.
Yes. What grade would you give this season overall, Michelle?
Probably like a B.
I'd give it a B too. Like, I love the game of traitors. I do. Personally, I would have liked if, you know, we see production kind of go in and shift the fickle hand of fate a little in other seasons. And I kind of maybe would have liked them to do that here, because we had so many great faithfuls that, like, I just would have liked to see them around longer. Although Sam, you know, he did give a Emmy-worthy performance of a dastardly man.
Yes. Yes.
And if he's allowed to pretend to be Texan, we're allowed to do fake bad Australian accents on this podcast. So don't add us.
Yeah, don't add us. Well, do add us, because nobody does.
Yes, please engage with us.
Please.
Please.
Even if it's a lawsuit, we'll take it.
Yes. Well, a cease and desist. Please get, you know, if we got any of these facts wrong, sue us for slander. We'd love to hear from you.
Please. We need the heat. We want the buzz.
Yes. And the theme of the season, I would say, like we talked about, is like kind of karma is a bitch. Mm-hmm. It's really focused on just Sam getting his comeuppance. But I would have liked to see more people who like had longer storylines.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. To put it indelicately, yes.
Eloquence is not my strength, my dear.
Eloquence
is learned.
My friend, said the Countess Luann.
Yeah, that's what she said.
So we had like a lot of symbolism. We had, you know, Simone is a wrestler and she wore her like big fur coats, like for the confessionals, kind of like a wrestling cape. And Sam was very much like a bad guy in wrestling, a heel. He had his own character too.
Yeah. He was the opposite of a sheriff. He was really a criminal.
Yes. He was, like Yosemite Sam. Let's see. So another symbolic thing we saw is we saw kind of a Cassandra curse happening, like Cassandra from the Greeks. Whenever anyone saw the truth, it was too late. And it was a wrap on them.
And Lauren learned that in theater school before getting kicked out.
Before I was kicked out. It was kicked out after the Greek unit before Shakespeare.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
All right. So thank you guys so much for listening to our recap. But this, we're just laymen, we're just spectators, just observers. We have some real behind the scenes tea from an amazing player who was actually on the season, who lived it all, who smelled Sam in real life, who saw the blankness in Sarah's eyes. Stay tuned. When we're back from our break, we will give you our exclusive interview with Simone Williams. A lot of surprises in it.
Yay.
These girls are having a break.
Cool. So we have a very special guest today. We've covered her season of Australia, season 2 of The Traitors. It's so exciting to have her. She is a Woman of Wrestling wrestler and a reality star. Please welcome Simone Wilson, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, thank you for doing our show, Simone. This is really exciting. We rarely have actual real people on our show that are their actual character or the person from the reality show. It's a big deal for us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's exciting for me because, I get to talk about my time on the show and maybe give you guys a little bit more of an insight into some stuff that you don't necessarily see in the edit.
Yes, that's what we want. We want you to like break kayfabe, like in wrestling when you have to like pretend it's all real. Yes, let's do it.
You know that word. That's a shock.
Well, I think there's so much like with like in wrestling and reality TV, so much they have in common. Like, did that prep you, your wrestling career prep you for reality TV at all?
Of course, yes, there's so much that wrestling has prepped me for in general in the entertainment space. But with this show, like, you go in there thinking that you're going to have, like, all these, things that are going to help you. But, like, when you're in there and depending on who you're playing with, like, sometimes all of that can just be thrown out the window anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you have a preconceived notion. Like, did you prep by watching the other seasons or like global seasons?
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
I went into the game wanting to win. Especially when it comes with these reality game shows, they've always kind of been something that I've wanted to do. Big Brother was a big one. Brother is actually how I got on The Traitors. I was cast in 2022 and I was the first one cast on Big Brother in 2022.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and that was
number one on the call sheet. That's what we talk about all
the time. That's important.
Yeah, number one on the call sheet, baby.
We love that.
But unfortunately, my immigration status was it. I couldn't leave the country in America. Otherwise, I would give up my green card process. And so literally the night before my flight to Australia to start Big Brother, my lawyer called me and told me I can't leave the country. So it was devastating because that.
I was just going to say the fact that you have an attorney is like, you know, you are such a star. You don't know anybody with attorneys.
Well, you know, trying to keep me like legal.
Yeah, yes, it's important.
This is the biggest problem.
Popped up because Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't able to do it. And then the following, they were going to bring me in for the following season of Big Brother, but that's when they did a dating season. Which they told me about beforehand, but I also had, you know, I go into these games, like I said, as a competitor. So mm-hmm. going into a dating version of Big Brother, mm-hmm. It wasn't really appealing to me because I want to play the normal game of Big Brother without breaking hearts like that in, you know, the dating world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Big Brother popped up. I mean, sorry, the traders.
Oh, yeah. Breaking that's heart. Way more similar.
Yeah. I hadn't heard about it before then. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I went into like, okay, I'm going to watch every single season.
Oh my gosh. So what was your favorite season you watched?
I really, really, really loved, that's so hard. That's really mm-hmm. hard. I loved the UK version.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah.
I am a fan of celebrity seasons as well. I know a lot of people love to hate on it, but I love the Bravo world and I love, you know, Real mm-hmm. Housewives and, you know, all of those types of shows. So I enjoy the Celebrity Big Brothers. So I actually really liked the US 1 and 2.
Nice.
Yeah. I haven't watched the New Zealand one yet, but that's on, that's on next. You know, I had to kind of have a little break from.
Understandable.
I can imagine. Yeah. Especially being on it. You're really in it.
So you were like on a half celebrity, half a regular people cast. What do you think about the half and half cast? Do you think it like gives the celebrities too much of an advantage? Like, were people kind of shy on your season or did it feel pretty even?
No, it felt really even. I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, celebrities, they already have an upper hand or whatever, but mm-hmm. I don't think so. Going mm-hmm. into a game like Traitors, it's so easy for people to be like, especially when you're in number one, number two, number three banishments, everyone's mm-hmm. just really trying to look for it not to be them. So mm-hmm. if you're automatically, as a celebrity, you're automatically kind of put into a group where one of you are a traitor is the way that everyone thinks. So
yes, kind of,
mm-hmm. You know, I would say it does the opposite. When it comes to our season 2, AU, I don't think mm-hmm. it didn't play any part.
Yeah, because you have that huge disadvantage of production will definitely pick a celebrity. So everyone's mm-hmm. eyes are on you.
Yeah.
So hard the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. So you came into the game super prepared. Do you feel like you're fellow players had the same grasp on the game as you, and like did production like break it down for you guys before?
So we were all given like a big package of like the rules mm-hmm. and everything. I'm gonna be honest, like it was a pretty big package. I don't know how detailed people were with like reading it or if anyone had kind of done the work beforehand with watching other seasons, but definitely there's a good, you know, a good amount of the cast that were just not tuned into the game one bit. And I don't think even really knew how the game was meant to be played.
Yeah. We were trying to be diplomatic about it.
Yeah. That would definitely be me though, for sure. If I was on the show, I'd be like, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
You know, when it comes to like performing and stuff, like there is something behind like not studying too much and not getting your brain too into it and kind of just walking into it. Maybe the unknown is sometimes the better situation because you're going in open and without any kind of predetermined thoughts or whatever. But I think for this type of game, it makes you harder to play with if you can't kind of go with the ups and the downs of it.
Right.
And kind of know when it's like, okay, we're voting out a faithful tonight and I know this is a faithful, but this is part of the plan.
When you when you were cast on the show initially, like before filming and you met the other cast members, were you wanting to be chosen as a traitor or were you wanting
Absolutely.
To be a faithful? You wanted to be a traitor. Is that how most people are on the game? They all want to be traitors.
So I'll tell you this right now. They casted our season with every single person except for two people wanting to be traitors. Everyone that they cast specifically for, I think, just the cutthroat of it.
So yeah, like, the competitive. Yeah, that makes sense.
Majority, yeah, who was in there would, I guess, make moves. And I think you can see the ones who don't. And
so we can do some educated guessing on who was like, I'll be a faithful. Well, it's so smart to want to be a traitor. Like, that shows the level of preparation, because it's like you have the advantage of like percentages where it's like you are less likely to be murdered, like you will be murdered.
That's exactly it. Like, it is so much harder playing the game as a faithful because, like I said, at my banishment, you're playing two completely different games at the exact same time in the bigger game, whereas traders have all the information. And it's so much easier to just kind of have your people who are part of each thing. And then all of a sudden you have everything, you have all the information, which is what kind of had done throughout the season with his little minions.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah. So what were the cliques? Like, who were your people? Like, I've heard that like Sam and Annabelle were kind of in a clique with Luke. Like, what were the groups looking like?
Yeah. That's an interesting question because I think, you know, you can tell in the game where the season kind of shifted.
Yes.
And for a good chunk, I would say the entire chunk front end of the game, it was very heavily, there was a very heavy click with Sam, Luke, Annabelle, and Gloria. And then over in the corner here, you have Hannah, Roha, and Ash.
Ash.
A big click, yeah. And then you had like my people very early on in the game was Blake, Peyton, Annabelle. Those were my three people early on in the game. And as the game went on, it got really hard because you could tell that the click between Luke, Sam, Annabelle and Gloria, like something was happening there and no one could really like get in. But in that group, you had the most influential people of the game in that one kind of little clique. So as we went on, it became kind of harder and harder to play because it came more, I guess, clear that Luke and Annabelle were only really working together. Yeah.
So that's what you sense was happening. So that did that like play into, of course, when Annabelle came to you and was like, we're voting out Blake tonight, and you were kind of blindsided by this. Was that kind of part of your decision where you were like, I don't think I trust her anymore?
Because that banishment was insane.
Wild. And I felt so bad after. But so here, let me explain this a little bit more, because it wasn't really as simple as Annabelle coming to me with Blake and then me being like, well, no, Blake's like my number one. I'm not going to chop him off like that to benefit you. So there were quite a few situations that I was kind of put in that it was just getting a little bit messy. Like, for example, Annabelle, so after the Ash banishment, Annabelle and I had a conversation, and this is something that wasn't in the edit, but Annabelle and I were working together from the beginning, and we had already discussed Sam at this point. So the second that Ash's banishment happened, Annabelle and I were both on Sam. after that, I was also on Sam with Blake, which you don't see in the edit either.
Whoa!
Very early game. Yeah, very early stage in the game. I started dropping little crumbs with him about Sam. Caden was also onto Sam before he got murdered. Yeah, very early on, Annabelle and I were discussing Sam. And as we kind of went on, after the Ash banishment and then another kind of day after that, it had been said to me multiple times from Annabelle that she's not going to vote out Sam. So even though we had kind of like already nailed in on Sam, she wouldn't pull the trigger. She wouldn't let anyone pull the trigger. She was blocking that banishment.
I was kind of suspecting that because it seems like once you see U.S. season two, you see Annabelle. It's not that like no one, you know, like was playing the game shows. It was like she kind of did pull, like she's an amazing player. I love watching her. Mm-hmm. She pulled a Peter though, where she did the switcheroo and she kind of like everyone was like, well, we already have the traitor. Why are we voting out the other traitor?
Right.
Which is suspicious.
Yeah. And it just really like, there was another point where there was two other occasions, right? One of them was when Annabelle and I were having that conversation about Sam after Ash's banishment the day before. And Blake and Gloria walk over. Just before they walk over, that's when Annabelle says to me, we're not going for Sam. I need to keep him here because I need him to protect me from murder. And then Gloria and Blake came over, and then she just kind of was like, okay, so I think it was Hannah that she wanted to go for that, and just like throw a banishment onto another faithful. At that point. And then I was like, oh my God. And then the second that she was like walking off, she goes to me, tell them about the plan. And I'm like, oh God,
what just happened?
I'm like, you want me to tell them that you think that, you know, that Sam's a traitor, but you don't want to get him out because you need to keep him in the game. And she just put me like in the most weirdest position where I wasn't sure if she wanted me to tell them the truth of what she just told me, or was she kind of just like putting me on the spot to make up something to tell them a lie. So I was like, oh God, well, and then with Blake and Gloria being there, I just kind of had to just come clean kind of thing. And I said, well, Annabelle thinks that Sam's a traitor, but she doesn't want to vote him out. And then it was very much Blake, you know, well, isn't that the purpose of the game? Why are we? And so it kind of started from there. One of the missions that we had, you know, and at this point I'm trying to like really work with Annabelle. That's my girl, like fucking queen, man. Like, and that's my girl to the end. Like, it was very hard for me to put the votes on her. Like, I felt really horrible about it. But it was at a point where it was like, my game doesn't really have a path if these four stay connected. And because they're just going to take each other to the end, right? That's what's happening in my head. We go to one of the missions. It was the torture one where we have, like, the ice buckets and everyone's getting electrocuted. And I'm looking over, and the question that's asked is, who do you think is the most faithful, right? I look over and Annabelle's on the other team, and I'm like, okay, we're on the same page. So we're trying to make Sam feel comfortable right now. That's the plan, right? Let's make him feel comfortable. And then hopefully Annabelle will be ready to kind of chop him off soon. So I write Sam for the question of who do you think is the most faithful. I write Sam thinking that Annabelle, we're like, you know, one on one here. And she just didn't, she didn't pick up on it, which is totally fine. But that kind of, it was the explanation behind the Sam vote with that. Who do you think is the most faithful? It was already conversations that had already been had. And I kind of thought we're on the same page. So I wrote down Sam's name. And just like it just kind of got to a point where I was being put into some situations that were kind of making me look a little bit shady. So I was like, mm-hmm. oh, this is just. So once Annabelle kind of tried to go for Blake, I was like, he's my number one. He's my only other person that we've, you know, spoken about Sam as well, besides Peyton and Annabelle, but Peyton had gone at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel comfortable just voting him out of the game like that. I trusted mm-hmm. him. And even though I knew that he could have been a traitor, that's, you know, for the future. In my mind, Sam was kind of it. Sam started getting a little bit more aggressive at a certain point in the game. Like after the Ash vote, I drove to the mission the next day with Luke, Annabelle and Sam. And that's when I realized just how close they are and that they were going to take each other all the way to the end.
Oh, wow. So did you vote out Hannah or did you vote out Annabelle? Was it like more like you were seeing her kind of act more aggressive, like the way that you'd seen Sam acting and like a lot of miscommunication, this frenzied kind of survivor, like new survivor type game. And you were suspicious of her, or was it just like, there's no place for me in the final four if this group is there and I've got to break it up.
So it was two things. Yeah. It was, there was no place for me moving forward because it was very mm-hmm. much like I mm-hmm. need Sam here because he's mm-hmm. protecting me from murder. And at that mm-hmm. point, Sam already said it. He was going for me already. And I just did not feel comfortable with Sam. Mm-hmm. The way that he was kind of speaking to me after the Ash vote in that car on the way, yeah. he's just like staring at me in the mirror and just telling
oh my God.
Me, he's such a villain.
Yeah, telling me what to do. And so I've got Annabelle telling me what to do. I've got Sam telling me what to do. I try to find Luke, right? Because mm-hmm. I know that they're working together. And I'm like, okay, let me feel out Luke and let me see if there's anywhere in here for me. And Luke didn't want it. Luke didn't give me anything. I tried two different occasions to have conversations with him before switching the votes on Annabelle. And he didn't want to. He didn't want to give a name. He didn't want to work with me in that sense. So I was like, okay, if I'm not Annabelle's number one, if Annabelle's other number one doesn't want to work with me. So this makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. It was, yeah, for safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other side of that, there wasn't, obviously anyone could have been a traitor. Like
mm-hmm.
when I say there was no suspicion of Annabelle being a traitor, like there's suspicion everywhere. Like she mm-hmm. could have been a traitor. Mm-hmm. What kind of like got it for me was how vocal she was being with her game. And when I say vocal, like, you know, that girl is just incredible at mm-hmm. speaking and just,
yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, are there writers on these shows? Because like
no,
the monologues during some of these banishments, especially Annabelle's, I'm like, is this, this woman is like the performance. And then, you know, at the end when she's like, you know, you find out that she's a faithful and then the guy goes, boom. I'm like, oh my God, this is like
they've had her wishes. Yes. Polar bears.
Yes. Totally. That girl was born for TV. Like, I truly hope that she gets to go on another show. Because she's just incredible. She's just incredible. But with that comes you swaying everyone, every single banishment. Like the way that she spoke about Sam is the exact same way that she spoke about Corinne, about like mm-hmm. other people, and we all kind of like go with it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that banishment was like it wasn't necessarily a banishment of everyone here thinks that she's a traitor. It was a banishment mm-hmm. of there's a lot that's being like held close, and there's certain mm-hmm. people, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people in this game that just couldn't really get in. Because mm-hmm. these mm-hmm. four were just four solid, four strong.
Why do you think we didn't see that? Like, why do you think production instead kind of wanted to tell the story of like, instead, like, anyone who suspects Sam, he's like the sheriff and he strikes them down and like no one, mm-hmm. everyone finds out too late and then he kills them. Why didn't we get to see any of this gameplay? Do you think it was just a simpler story or what?
So I actually spoke to Luke after we wrapped up the show, and you know, we all kind of caught up with each other and kind of shared stuff, you know, and something I learned from Luke is these reality shows, they actually work back from the finish. So whatever the finish was, they find the best storyline to kind of like.
Okay. And then they go edit it. Throughout. Okay.
Yeah. And so I think just with everything, where everything ended up, it they didn't want to tell multiple storylines. They just wanted to keep it real.
Straightforward.
Real clean, crisp, cut. Yeah. And I wish that that day when I pushed back on Blake, I wish that we could have made the decision to go for Sam before going into banishment, because I think that would have saved everything. When we were already in there, it was too late, and here's why. Although everything was laid out as to why Sam is the traitor, it was just a little too late, because once we got in there, it was revealed that there was a final four promise made with four of the cast members in that. Yeah.
Exactly like you thought.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So there's four people who came into the car together, in one of the cars together, when we all arrived at a beautiful, magnificent hotel. And those four were Gloria, Luke, Annabelle, and Sam. So a lot of that banishment was actually eaten up by that coming out, and then everyone just really kind of jumping in and asking for the questions. And yeah, it was pretty much like they had basically had a conversation that the chances of one of them being a traitor is very high. And the promise was that if one of them is a traitor, they're going to take each other to the end, to the final four. And
wow,
something was sus, man. Because once that came out, there was no chance. Like Annabelle was gone. They just no one, even just you know, even just with like, and me in that room at that time, like it was very heavy on my shoulders, because I like, I wanted to find my girl and I wanted to work with my girl. And then it kind of just sucked that it just wasn't kind of like what I thought was, you know, the partnership through this was actually with Luke. And then Luke didn't really have any interest working with me. So it was kind of like, I didn't want to, but I saw it as the only way for me moving forward into the game and making my game easier moving forward. Otherwise, I'm just going to be kind of picked off last when it's, you know, all of those people working together. But yeah, so we kind of couldn't come back from it. I would have voted for Sam in that banishment had we have kind of, you know, could we have gotten the votes around live in banishment, but it was too late once that final four was revealed. It was just very clear that there was a lot of protecting going on and a clear kind of group just moving through the game.
Totally. What, and so, yeah, that makes total sense.
Oh, sorry, Lauren, you want to go?
Oh, no, go for it, Michelle.
Oh, I was just going to ask, like, Sam, yeah, like real villain stuff going on with him. Was he like that when the cameras weren't rolling? Was he like, because he gives me like ultimate like reality show villain vibes. Like he's up there with like, I don't know if you're familiar with Vanderpump Rules, but like a Jax Taylor type, or like, I mean, he's just like, what was he like when the cameras were not rolling?
So we didn't really get any time at all without the cameras rolling.
Really? Wow. So he was all, so that's just how he is.
Well, so, yeah.
Or the thing is, he's on TV. I mean, he's just like that the whole time.
Yes, exactly. I do think that he definitely amped it up for the show.
Like he was kind of playing a character.
Yeah, for sure.
His wrestling character would be the sheriff. He would come in. He's a heel, you know? He'd come in.
Exactly.
Like.
Just a straight up heel. And I think he did a good job at being a heel. He didn't get any time, like, and I actually have a question for other cast members on the other traders, but like I wonder how much time everyone got on the other seasons to like chat with each other, because most of the days we would get sometimes under an hour, and we'd be and then we'd have to go back rooms and be just cut off for the rest of the day.
Really?
And, you know, yeah. Like on the day of my banishment, after we got back from the mission, because you don't really talk through the missions. Once we got back to from the missions, we had about 45 minutes and then straight into banishment. Straight into round 8.
Whoa. Dang. I thought it was longer than that. I didn't realize it's like it looks so like, short.
Yeah.
It looks like all day.
It looks like we're out all day every day, but that's not the case. We probably see each other for maximum 2 hours of the 12 hours. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The team did a very good job at making everyone paranoid and really minimizing the.
Yeah, that's the name of the game. Well, let's talk a little bit about your banishment. So the way it's edited, it seems like once Luke is dead, then you realize Sam's a traitor. We know that's not true, and that was just the story they were wanting to tell, is everyone being bamboozled by him. So you came back in thinking, I guess it was kind of the plan for Sam the day before, thinking you would get the numbers. Were you surprised when, kind of at that banishment table, everything turned against you, even though you knew it was already his plan? Like, what was your strategy going in?
So I was so caught off guard. That was my mistake. I was too confident that everyone, like not everyone else, but the people who I was working with, I was too confident that they were on the same page with really genuinely thinking that Sam is a traitor. And so that day was not so much about getting votes, to be honest, for Sam, because I had gotten that really, really early on. I didn't even need Camille. I already knew that Camille was voting with us. At that point, Camille and I were probably the closest in the game. We weren't necessarily working together though, because she was so stuck on Luke from up until Luke got murdered. She was Luke was the only name that she would talk about or go for any conversation that you go to talk about another name. She would circle back around to Luke. Why was I saying that? What was the question?
How you felt in that banishment when suddenly the room turned.
So Camille, I felt really, really, really confident in. Blake, I felt really confident in. I had had a conversation with Blake, Keith and Gloria about a plan going in. I knew that there was a strong chance that Blake was the other traitor. Obviously I don't want him to know that. And potentially getting Sam out, the plan was Blake will bring me in if he is a traitor, you know? So kind of, it was just, we need to get Sam out. I had had a conversation with Blake telling him, look, okay, us four, me, Gloria, you, Blake, and Keith. Keith and I, let's go at each other at the round table, because that's just in case Blake, I was trying to protect myself from, and also Blake and also Keith and Gloria for tomorrow's banishment and murder that night, just in case Blake wasn't the traitor. And so we went in there with the plan. Keith and I were going to kind of go at each other a little bit just to put our names up there for banishment tomorrow so that neither of us were murdered that night. And then Blake and Gloria were going to go at each other. So there's a point where you hear Gloria say, I don't know what, you know, people aren't looking at the people like me, Gloria, Keith and Blake. It's because us four had a plan going in to kind of throw shade at each other and then blindside Sam. Me, Gloria, Keith be safe from murder that night.
So then they didn't do the plan.
So Keith and Gloria turned on me.
That happens a lot on the show.
And it was such a shock because I went in there with them front of mind protecting them. And I think that's kind of what I learned in this game is just focus on yourself.
No one's going to stick to the plan.
I tried to go in there with a plan. I tried to go in there with the plans to protect all of us, to make sure that all of us were there tomorrow. And those were the people that I kind of trusted the most. And so I went at Keith in the banishment. You don't see any of that. there's a lot kind of like going in between us four, and then Keith and Gloria both voted me.
Wow, me out,
and I was so pissed at the time. I was like, it wasn't that I was picked. I was just really like flabbergasted. Like I genuinely like thought that we were so crystal clear about mm-hmm. what was happening in this battle, and that even though I'm going for Keith, the target is still the target. Mm-hmm. It's Sam. Because if you give Sam a room to, like, if you say his name, like you see, all of a sudden, like, he finds a way to just throw the whole room on you. Mm-hmm. So the plan was to just really kind of just do this and then take him out.
So I have a question about that. Is he, like, an incredible persuasive speaker, or is he just, like, a white guy with confidence? Like, is what's going on?
Yeah, what is his background?
So I think the thing with Sam is...
Is he in therapy?
I hope so. I think everyone had to be after this season, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think with Sam, he just genuinely, like, if you need someone, if he can, he's like a, he'll pray, right?
Okay.
So he'll pray. So, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. And so if there's someone in there that's starting to, you know, like, for example, Hannah, when Roha mm-hmm. was murdered, mm-hmm. Sam was right there mm-hmm. by her side, mm-hmm. patting her arm, you know, kind of like using that as an opportunity to make her feel safe. Vulnerable and safe with you. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. I wanted to ask also about, like, in the edit, it really seemed like there was some gender bias happening, like maybe consciously or unconsciously at the banishment table, like the way that you and Annabelle like almost went out back to back. Oh, and Ash, when it was like mm-hmm. we're playing too strong, being too emotional. Did you Gloria. Feel like that at the time, Gloria? Or do you think that, like, was that the editor? Did you feel kind of that was maybe unconsciously being weaponized, or like people were drawing unconsciously on their biases?
Unconsciously, yes.
Oh,
yeah. I think that mm-hmm. in this game, a man's directness is seen as more real than a female being vulnerable and
emotional.
Trying to be
yeah.
What mm-hmm. you see, you know, and you see a little bit of it in this season, but let me tell you, it got way more heated than even what you guys see.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think a lot of the women, because we're not naturally like, you know, we're not like, well, I could say that about you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. very abrupt and very abrasive and direct. I think that kind of like pushed us all into just banging our head against a wall and then we got a bit of aggressive.
Yeah.
And so you kind of see, you know, like with Ash as well, you know, she had every right to be pissed off and mm-hmm. But the way that it was kind of pushed against her in banishment mm-hmm. made everyone feel like she was out of pocket by saying what she said, listen up, you little shit, or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, something which I watch back now and I'm like, yeah, go Ash.
Yeah, she's doing like, let me speak, you know, like yeah, reclaiming yeah. my time.
And they're yeah. like, shut up.
Truly, yeah, Sam just pushing people. And
he's
in
like
such a
bully.
Yeah, he was a bit of a bully. And, you know, that's nothing against Sam. It's the game he played. He
right.
played mm-hmm. that.
No, mm-hmm. and he was definitely memorable.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, some people lost it and but I do think that subconsciously a man's words mm-hmm. made more impact in this season and yeah. I think that also comes down to all of the better players being cut out first.
Yes, because there were so mm-hmm. many strong female players. Yeah,
because after go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, after you're banished or murdered, just where do you go? Like, do you stay in another hotel? Like, how long are you away?
Yeah, I got banished. So when I got banished, they kind of take you into a car and you kind of, you know, drive off. But mm-hmm. after that, you can obviously go back and get all your stuff, and you get taken to another hotel.
Okay.
The following day.
And yeah. So you're
and
just...
it's really like, it's a hard pill to swallow because you know that everyone else is just off on their mission now. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. What did you think of watching the rest of the season play out? Like, did you get to speculate at the other hotel with the other players what you thought might happen? Like, did it play out the way you thought it might? Or were you surprised?
So here's the thing. The most surprised part I was in the whole game was when I was banished, because mm-hmm. I just thought it was just such a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And although they don't show anyone else onto Sam early on, they only show Luke and Annabelle, but it kind of puts you in a position where it's like, I know that there's people here. I know that you guys were on Sam. I mm-hmm. know that mm-hmm. like everyone was so like on Sam, and then all of a sudden every time it just – so I kind yeah. of like after my banishment, I was like, I'm not sure, because it was just so mm-hmm. crystal clear. And then mm-hmm. every single time after that, I was like, oh, this –
ugh, brutal.
Brutal. Were you surprised at the finale, how it ended with none of them getting anything?
I loved it.
I did too.
Yes.
When Camille is like, steal, I was like, ooh. This is what Sam gets.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I would have rathered see Camille and Blake mm-hmm. or Blake on his own, because there was a point there that he could have had the votes mm-hmm. without Camille and not tell her. Mm-hmm. You know, Liam, Sam, and Blake. But Sarah was just such a, like,
yeah.
You just could not trust her for anything. So I understand why Blake was in a really tough position then. You look at the vote anyway, mm-hmm. and thank God he didn't try to vote with Sam and mm-hmm. With Sarah and Liam.
Yes. He couldn't trust her.
Yeah. Because so he was kind of put into a corner, he was. He couldn't really do much. Mm-hmm. But I would have liked to have seen Camille and Blake work together to get Sam out. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to both of them. Camille says that she tried to work with Blake on getting Sam out, and mm-hmm. Blake said no. And then Blake says that he tried really hard to work with Camille to get
Sam
out. Interesting.
And Camille said no, stick to the plan. We're sharing.
Show us the footage.
I know.
There should be a
reunion the way that they do with the U.S. traders. Get Andy Cohen down there in Australia.
That would be so great. A traders reunion would be fantastic. And, you know, everyone on our season, like, I feel like most people get along really well. And we were there to support each other as mm-hmm. it all came out. Because obviously, after a while, you kind of realize what the storyline was. And you mm-hmm. feel... quite bad for the faithfuls. It's a rough one.
I've heard this season described as, have you heard this? It's very popular on traders forums, which I'm active in, describe it as it starts as a Shakespearean tragedy mm-hmm. and then turns into a Shakespearean comedy.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
What do you think of like the traders fandom, and like, do you read any of like the message boards? Do you read like any of the Reddit posts? Do you stay active on any of that stuff?
Yeah, it kind of comes in. So we aired in Australia, obviously, before the UK, and then the UK before mm-hmm. America. So mm-hmm. it kind of like went in some waves.
Okay, yeah.
It was coming out in Australia. I think in general, the traders is just more popular overseas.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny now because a lot of Aussies were kind of hating on it. But then now the UK and the US, like it's just such a hate or love season that now a lot of people are like, oh, it's gold. You know, like a lot of people are kind of changing their minds. They mm-hmm. kind of just jumped on the bandwagon of mm-hmm. everyone on just really just wanting to hate. So I think as time has gone on and people are starting to see it more for what it should be seen as, which is just comedy mm-hmm. gold,
yes.
then yeah, it's gotten a little bit easier. Like I do, I'm on Reddit and I kind of dabble in there a little bit. Sometimes it's not the best for the mental space,
right,
though.
So you've got to kind of... I wouldn't think so, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to understand that, like, is a very small, like, what is shown is so small compared to the grand scheme of things that, like, you can't really expect anyone as a viewer to know anything else or see it any other way. So, man, those viewers are just harsh.
They are.
I clocked quite a lot for going for Annabelle because – and I knew that I was going to because it's just like, and I said, I kept saying in my interview the following day, like, I'm so sorry for not having Annabelle on your TV screen anymore because we all need Annabelle.
Yeah. I wish more viewers would understand what you're saying. It's like, it's TV. Like, these people are giving us entertainment. Be grateful for them.
Be grateful. And
be grateful for the woman who gave us...
We are only seeing, like, snippets, and then also the way that it's edited, you said it's kind of going backwards, so there's a lot of storylines that were missed, not shown, so that's why it's great that you're telling us all of this, because I had no idea.
You wouldn't, and that's kind of it. You just, after a certain point, you just got people saying things, and you're just like, I'm never gonna, it's fine.
You
just
can't even.
You know. People take with Reddit, like, healthy mindset, great. As people started seeing it, it became a little bit
easier. Reddit's not the greatest place. Earlier you talked about, like, you watched Housewives or, like, what Bravo shows or what other reality shows do you like? Because it's obviously Lauren and I's areas of expertise.
New York Housewives, love.
That's our favorite. Okay, so then I have a question. Okay, when I first saw Australia Traders, the hotel where you stayed, it reminded me of Dorinda's Bluestone Manor, like that entryway. I was like, this is Bluestone Manor. No. Did you think that when you walked in? Were you like, where's the fish room?
I didn't think that when I walked in, but now I'm going to every time I see that. I'm
like
that,
like,
that
entrance way. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I think Ramona's dog has taken a shit there. I think there's been a lot of women that have been yelled at in this hallway. I know this place.
Yeah, a lot.
Australia season 2 is so the Berkshires vibes. Yeah, like, it's a Berkshires season.
It's like a
of New York Housewives.
You're like, what's going on? And just like the Berkshires, like, people get banished. They had a murder mystery party at the... Berkshire, so it's very much like that. So you like Brody. Who's your favorite cast member? So you like the new school.
I love the new. I've watched the old as well. But I'm a big fan of the new cast. I love the new cast. I
love that.
I think Brynn is just...
She's a star.
Oh, incredible. Yeah, she's a star. Who else? I mean, the Beverly Hills. I mean, come on. Where else is there? I've watched them all. Like, now I don't know. But I literally keep up with all of them. I've kind of fallen behind with the Orange County one.
Okay, yeah. I mean, same. But
yeah.
I'll probably start,
like,
watching
New York,
it again.
Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
I love Vanderpump Rules, although this season's kind of a little bit, like, I would have, obviously we all would have loved to have Raquel, Rachel on it.
Either one of those girls, Raquel or Rachel, wanted to show up.
Either one, girl.
Yeah, and I'm sure they would have paid her a lot of money. We love Vanderpump Rules. Are you watching The Valley at all?
Yes,
spinoff?
I am.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jesse.
Yeah.
Jesse reminds me a lot of Sam.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Even
they're
just
very
his
devilish.
Stare.
Yes.
Yes. The withering stare.
Yeah. Just like, and they're like, and then when they get some heat, they're like, I don't know why people are upset with me. Like, what did I say? What did I do?
Yeah. You know what Sam was really good at doing is making people feel dumb. Like, he would just be able to immediately be like, but why would I do that? That's so stupid.
Yeah, like, he did.
Like,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden.
Yeah, like at Annabelle's banishment, he's like, you know, you're so stupid. What a guy.
Yeah.
Must have been great living with him.
I don't know, you know, and Sam, you know, there's no beef there. Well, there might be some beef with Sam and Camille and Blake. Blake and Sam have talked, but Camille and Blake haven't talked, and Camille and Sam haven't talked.
Right, like, because I heard, I mean, Camille said to the press that apparently, like, the speech we saw, like, where he was really upset at her and, like, you should have just given us the money, that apparently it went on for, like, a really long time. Like, do you think that was still him playing to the cameras, or do you think that that was really his frustration?
He wanted money.
he was aware that cameras were on. For someone who played such a good villain, they're aware. He went in there to make TV. So he was aware, but I think that he genuinely, truly thought that he deserved it more than Camille, and that Camille should have given him the money. Yeah, I genuinely think that.
That's wild. Well, I think the biggest revelation we've had from having you here, we learned so much, but I think the biggest one is that, I guess, since you were, like, blindsided by your banishment, did you improvise the line, this season of The Traitors should be called The Dummies?
Totally. I don't know where that came from. Like, I was just so, like, I was heartbroken because I truly had, like, I was up all night after banishing Annabelle. I was up all night saying, okay, finally, there's a break in the game. Like, and that's all that was supposed to be. Like, when you see Camille say, wherever she goes, you know, I'm writing your name, Annabelle, because it'll tell me a lot. Truly, that's what it was. Like, we truly were, it was the first banishment where no one was going to be, like, the traitors were going to be caught off guard with Annabelle. And we knew that because there was no reason for her to still be in the game because she was the smartest, the most vocal, like, she should have been murdered. She was tracking them down, you know. But after that, and they just didn't pick up on it. They just completely, I went in there trying to protect them too. So I was just so blown away. Like, I really didn't think that Keith and Gloria were gonna change. I thought it was a done deal. So I had no time to prepare. I genuinely thought, I was more worried about murder that night and protecting me, Gloria, and Keith from murder. So I had them the following day than anything. So I genuinely had no clue that it was coming. And I think I was just really, like, I was, like, kind of just frustrated. I was really frustrated in the moment. And I just felt like I was playing the game, trying to protect people that they didn't even understand what I was doing at all. At all. Like, they weren't understanding the gameplay.
Right, yeah. So, I can see that.
And what came out of your mouth was pure poetry. I think it would be a great, like, housewives catchphrase, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that I was really close with Guyton, before he got banished. That was a hard banishment for me. And at that point, we had kind of just been taken off people that we knew were faithfuls, just to kind of survive another day. But that was kind of another one where, in front of everyone, Annabelle was like, Guyton, you're a faithful. I trust that you're a faithful. I'm not voting for you, and I'm going to go tell everyone that you're a faithful. And then she went into banishment that night and voted for him. And so it just got really confusing for me.
Yeah.
Because it was just right in front of me.
It is the Berkshires. Confusing. Probably less alcohol.
Yeah. And it's more confusing, though. It's more confusing when someone is so good at what they're doing and so smart. It's like, this is really strange.
It's a lot of deception. So much deception, so much manipulation. Wild.
But those lines that I did, I was like, okay, well, if I'm going out, I'm going to stand up right now and I'm going to deliver a promo.
I love it. It was so wrestling promo. Yeah, it was so good.
Promo is perfect.
I had no time to prepare. As I was going around and I was just kind of smiling, I was smiling at people saying my name because I was like, you dummies. And anyway, back to Guyton. I was really quite close with him in a game, and his departure where he said dum-dums, that kind of just stuck with me. And I was just so like that Keith and Gloria didn't, I was like, I'm doing this for you guys. How do you not see? And so I kind of just went up there and I was like, stuff it. I'm going in.
It was iconic. I still see it all the time. Yeah. It was great.
And you couldn't really tell, but like after I said, you know, I thought some of you were smart enough and picking up to what I was putting down. And I looked at Keith and I looked at Gloria, but clearly not.
And it clearly still didn't quite. Well, maybe it did. We didn't see it in the edit.
Yeah. And now we said it. But,
yeah. Well, it was quite funny that the Roger actually came to me after I was banished and had a, he came out the back and he was just like, I cannot believe that they just, what is that? And we were just laughing and laughing and he kind of, yeah, they were all like, you have like one of the best, you know, exit speeches we've ever seen. So I was like, well, at least I could, you know, say that to Pat.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that's so funny that Roger, you like people have like, you know, speculated, like, was he kind of like annoyed as like people kept getting voted out for saying Sam, like he's starting to repeat the rules of the game every single time. Is he worried for people? It's good to get confirmation on that.
1,000%. Yeah. 1,000%. I felt bad for him at the end, to be honest, because he just kind of like, oh God, this isn't going anywhere. Like you think that it's going to happen and it doesn't. And it's like, oh God, it would have been like frustrating for him, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming. You've been such an angel. And thank you for giving us so much.
I just wanted to say something before you leave, and we can edit this out, but I just need it for my own like knowledge. I could not stop staring at your skin the whole time you were on screen, and I would text Lauren, and I was like, what is her skincare? Because like your skin is like perfect.
You have glass skin. You look like Naomi Watts.
You're like the girls on TikTok that are like, I'm like, oh my God, how? Like, what do you do? Oh, and you have perfect skin.
That's so sweet. I actually had acne when I was younger.
You have amazing skin. Like, I could not stop staring at it. I was like, she's so beautiful.
Oh my God, stop. I genuinely do like the minimum when it comes to skincare. Because I have like kind of oily skin anyway. Mm-hmm. So like when I do too much, it's too much. So the less is that. Yeah.
Well, you look incredible.
I have to talk about this one moisturizer though. It's called something, and I'll send it to you after, but it's the moisturizer that I use on my face, and it is the best moisturizer ever. And it's like $10 something, and it will last you for a long time. Yeah.
We are going to get it. We are going to get it. Yeah, I was like, wake up and be you.
Like, yeah, be you. Because I was like, is it Vegemite? Like, what do we need, Lauren? We need whatever she's got going on.
Yeah.
Vegemite? No. No.
Kangaroo burgers? Like, what's the secret?
What is it? What's the secret?
Oh. Remember, you know, I was wearing makeup as well, so. That helps. That definitely helps.
I love your iconic white fur coat as well.
Oh, thank you. That's totally a wrestling thing for me. I was like,
oh yeah.
You know, I wear a lot of coats and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm just going to bring a little bit of me in wrestling inside.
I love that. You got to suit up, armor up.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything else anything you want to promote and any like pitches like for reality shows you would want to be on in the future?
Andy Cohen, are you listening? Well,
yeah, hey. Well, I think for me, because it all started with Big Brother, that's the game that I originally wanted to play. And I think that I would be better at the Big Brother game than what I was at the Traders, because I am a competitor. We see even with like the shields, like I was able to be the first and the second to get the shield. And I'm just very like, I enjoy the missions and the physicality stuff mm-hmm. and all of that. But it's my social game that was definitely my strength.
Okay.
So I think that I would just do really good in a game like Big Brother, and we got to finish what we started. I would mm-hmm. love to do Big Brother.
You would run that house, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I would have so much fun. But not only that, I just love meeting the cast. Like, I've mm-hmm. made really good friends with the cast members, and they're mm-hmm. all just really great people. And it's kind of an experience that it's so mm-hmm. special to share. And mm-hmm. it's a life experience, mm-hmm. so it's pretty cool. And I want to be able to do that again.
Definitely.
And hopefully, you know, get a little bit further and find my person to play with until the end.
Oh
yeah. I mean, yeah, the way Big Brother is set up, it's like, you know, like in the traitors, obviously it's a flaw in the game that like the challenges and the shield challenge, they don't help you or protect you that much. Yeah. Like being like a competitor mm-hmm. like you are, I just feel like you'll like dominate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's it too. Like, you don't really get too much from, I mean, obviously you don't get to get murdered, which is great mm-hmm. because that's a lot of the stress as a faithful. You gotta mm-hmm. be friends with the right people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But with a game like Big Brother, if you're a competitor and you win something, you get an advantage in mm-hmm. the game, not a mm-hmm. nulled, not getting right. murdered. You don't get that, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry
exactly.
about that. Hey, yeah. Do, but you don't actually get an advantage in the game unless you're a traitor who won the shield.
Right.
Exactly. And then you mm-hmm. know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anything upcoming to promote that we should watch out for? Yeah.
Yes, please. For people who don't know, I'm a professional wrestler. And so you can also see me. We do air in Australia Sunday mornings on 10 Play. It's called Wow Women of Wrestling. We're about to get into another season that's just beginning. So it's about to get really spicy. I've just dropped the belt. So I'm kind of the championship title. So I'm kind of on my way fighting for that again. But yeah, every Sunday, Wow Women of Wrestling, you can watch what I really do in my day to day. And yeah, follow me that way.
Oh my gosh.
Hell yeah. Well, I definitely will not illegally pirate it, just like I didn't illegally pirate Australia as it aired, so I could watch it immediately.
I had no choice. It was 3 a.m. in the morning in America, because I'm in Los Angeles. It would start airing 3 a.m. So I would have to kind of like roll over, and I had to do the VPN and with all the ads and everything. So it was like a 2-hour, 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. thing for me every week.
Oh my God.
That's commitment.
It was really nice when I had a week off, I could just watch the whole thing.
That's great. Mm-hmm. What about your socials? Do you want to?
Yeah, where can people find you online?
Yes. So Instagram, you can find me at Simone S. Williams. Also Twitter, Simone S. Williams. And TikTok, Simone S. Williams. All the same.
Nice. Simple, good, wonderful. Easy. Love it. Well, Simone, thank you so much for being here. I just still am so blown away and honored. Shocked. We were so like starstruck before this.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm so happy to be here. Like, as I said, I haven't, I think a lot of us haven't really had a chance to talk about the season. So it's nice to jump on here and chat with you girls.
Oh, you were amazing.
Yeah, we really appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Aww,
bye. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo. These girls are going insane now. Bravo, breakdown.